Yamadagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
Hello and welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Last year we had the opportunity to catch up with Doug Stanton when he was in Port Macquarie for a series of meetings. Doug is an Australian evangelist living in the US and started the work now known as Honour Church in Port Macquarie quite a few years ago. Tony Dennison got to interview Doug and his wife Karen in Rema FM's Port Macquarie studios during their visit, and today we're presenting the interview with Doug.
Oh, it's great to have Doug Stanton in the studio with us today as our special guest and his beautiful wife Karen. Welcome to King's Kids Ministry, and we just are so happy to have you here, Doug.
It's wonderful to be with you, Tony. It's a real privilege, and we're really enjoying Port Macquarie and the weather, so looking forward to sharing with you.
Mate, it's been a great lot of meetings, and I haven't missed one yet. I'm just looking forward to what you're going to share with us for the rest of the week.
Well, we're enjoying it. God always turns up when people turn up, when there's ministry, and we've got him in the midst of our hearts. Something good's going to happen.
When I look at the numbers, I feel saddened sometimes that people are missing God. You know, God's turning up and people are not coming because for whatever reason. You know, if the Lord come back tomorrow, would they actually miss the rapture?
Well, look, there's always a season, and I think we're in a real season now. You know, I was sharing back in 2008 about the five wise and the five foolish virgins, and the verse just below it said, and they're all sleepy and drowsy. And I think to some degree, with all that's going on in the world, there's a kind of a lull, there's kind of almost the blinkers on that we really don't want to face the world that's going off around us. And I think that's affecting the church. And I'd really love to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ rise up in the midst of this darkness, because that's what we're called for, to pierce the darkness. So, look, Tony, I always love starting with less and ending up with more. And I think you remember some time back we had the Tent Crusade here. There wasn't a great crowd to start with, but we had it pretty full by the time we left. And so I think if everyone was on fire, they wouldn't need a revivalist. So we're here to do our best.
Yeah, Doug, I have the same philosophy you do. I travel all over this country preaching, and I turned up with 16 people once at Chinchilla. Mm-hmm. We went to a little town outside. 20 people lived there. 4 people turned up. But I remember sitting in the gutter and saying to God, I said, well, the most important person here is you. Mm. And those 4 people got saved, so pretty good strike rate.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I've learned, and I've done the big things. We've had very big crowds and big revivals, but I feel in my heart that the sometimes in the smaller environments, there's an intimacy and an awareness of what God's doing. And so I've learned to just enjoy. If there's anyone in front of me, I treat it like there's 1,000 people. If there's 1,000 people, I treat it a bit like there's just one in front of me. And I guess it comes down to whether you're doing it for the praise of man or for God.
Mate, I've always said to the Lord, I'll travel anywhere just for one person.
Yes.
And, you know, if the Lord blesses me with more than one turning up, it's even better.
Well, you know, I shared last night where we were speaking that one makes a difference. You know, I was sitting there the other night, 2 years ago or whenever it was, the Tent Crusade we did. A young girl, met her outside the tent. She came in. I welcomed her. Later on the night, she gave her heart to Jesus. And I'm sitting with her a couple of years later. She's on fire. She's involved in all kinds of activities around the city, heading off to a mission trip in Perth today, I think. And she was just so excited of how that changed her life. And she's just one person, but she's now making a big difference. And so, you know, you get a lot of those ones over your lifetime. Somehow you've made a difference.
A lot of people miss their destiny, Doug, because they're too busy. You know, I was travelling to your meeting the other night, and I went early because I wanted to pray for your meeting in the car park before you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
That lady that came out, that young girl that you prayed with on that first night, I seen her walking to the meeting. I didn't know she was actually going to the meeting, but she had a very powerful stride with purpose. like she was on a mission.
Yeah.
And then when she came out for prayer, I recognized the lady that was walking to the meeting. She was that determined to get a touch from God that who knows how far she walked to get there.
Well, that young lady was given 4 years basically to live by doctors because of a heart condition or something. And that's really sad. But I, you know, like the people who let their friend down through the roof or whatever, when someone comes with a determination, they already have faith in action. And so our part's very little. We're just a point of contact between them and God. And so, you know, often, you know, you get a reputation of being a healer or something. And all we are is the conduit by which we connect people with the possibilities that God has already done for them. And so, you know, I was excited. But I met her outside. I went to put my microphone on and she was there and she shared her doctor's things and what was happening. I said, look, we're going to have opportunity in a moment. The day before, there was a man came from hospital, brought his son who had had an episode, maybe drugs, something like that. And he had come all the way just because he thought there was a possibility that someone could help his son. He had tears in his eyes when I prayed for him in the foyer. I said, your faith to bring your boy here because you believe God could do something is what's going to activate the what God can do today. And it's exciting.
Well, speaking of that, I know myself that I've been to the doctor for the last 4 months and I've been praying and praying and using my faith, waiting for God to heal me.
Mm.
But then when I went to the meeting last night, I went with anticipation that God was going to show up and do something. And the problem with a lot of the churches that I go to, people don't expect God to show up. They don't expect Him to do anything. Mm. So therefore, they don't get anything.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I mean, someone listening might argue with that and say, well, you know, I got the word and I got the teaching. And there is all that aspect of the Christian faith. But I guess in my heart, what changed my life was an encounter with God, not just the knowledge of God. And like the woman at the well, she encountered Jesus, didn't know who He was. Then people encountered what she told them, and they were saved. They believed on Jesus. But eventually they went themselves, the Bible says, and they met Him for themselves. And in meeting them, they said, now, once we believe because of what you told us, and that's where a lot of people are, they're just believing because of what's been told to them. But when you have an encounter with God, then you now believe because of a personal relation, a personal encounter. And to me, when you look over 35 years of ministry, the people that have had an encounter with God come to a level where they bear fruit. There's something that activates. It's like araldite. You've got A and B. It can be hanging on the shed wall for years, and it's still got the potential to do more. But it's not till you mix them. All of a sudden, it's activated, and now it can hold the harbour bridge together, so to speak, you know. And that's what Christianity is. I mean, you're doing a wonderful work for God because of not only where you've come from, but because it's real, you've had an encounter, and you'll never turn away from God. You'll always abound more. You could get hurt, people could criticize you, but somehow it's going to be for the glory of God you're going to go through. And that's how Karen and I are. Hasn't been a fun ride all the time.
No, it's not always easy because, see, like, I had somebody pray for me for 9 years before I got saved.
Mm.
And God knew that it took a lot because I was robbing banks, I was in the world, I had running with drug dealers, running with the mafia, did it all. And then after a shootout, after an armed robbery, that the Lord actually turned up in the bull rushes.
Mm.
And I was surrounded by police. And I keep telling people, it's one thing to know God, but it's different when you have an encounter with God.
Mm.
Something's got to break. When Jesus comes into your heart, something's got to give.
Yes. I love the way you said you met Jesus in the Sandstone College. And I guess you mean the jail or whatever it is that was a result of that. But, you know, wherever you meet Jesus, you know, anyone listening out there, you know, I encountered Jesus in a time in my life where a young love was broken, my heart was broken, and young Australian fella had no need for God up to that point in my life. But all of a sudden, seeds from people that had told me I needed Jesus, and I probably told them off, to be honest. You know, you get that Aussie pride of just thinking, I'm right, mate. You know, you need your Jesus, you need a crutch. And I probably was like that. But when the wheels fell off on my life, and he was presented to me in a time of crisis, he was so real. And, you know, I often look back and I think, whatever happened that day, and I had no idea what it was, it never changed. It always was real. It always got better. And so I always encourage people to continue to seek and to pursue. If their experience isn't life-changing, they haven't really had it. They haven't really met him. They haven't really encountered. And I find there's times when people have an encounter with what people have told them, and it's interesting. But when you meet Jesus for real, when he encounters you, it's life-changing. It messes you up, but for good.
He does mess you up. Like, I mean, when I first went to Sandstone College, I couldn't read and write real well. I asked for a Bible, read a psalm, preached a sermon, didn't even know how to lead people to the Lord. And then 2 years later, somebody gave me Wayne Williams' testimony on tape.
Mm.
And I listened to it. And I remember talking to God, and I talked to God like I talked to you. I mean, I'm a real person. I don't gussy it up. I just say it is. And I know God's not going to smack me about the head for being honest and sharing your feelings. And I said to God, I said, how come you didn't have to go to prison, but you put me in here? You know, from me listening to his testimony. But I needed to go to prison because I needed to be where God wanted me to be. As a result of that, they started prison ministries in prison. 49 prison guards got saved, 149 wow. prisoners. Now, that would never happen had I not counted Jesus in the bulrushes.
That's awesome.
Because he didn't say to me, Tony, I'm going to put you back in jail. He said, I'm giving you a choice, because I had actually was on the run from the police. He said, you can give yourself up, do my will for the rest of your life, or do your will and die by the gun and go to hell. See, God doesn't force us to do anything. He gives us a choice.
Yeah. That's the reality, isn't it? You know, you hear that constant argument out there, if God's the God of love, why did he let this happen, or why did he let that happen? But in fact, there's a sovereignty of the way it's been set up by God, to where everything that God has done for us and provided for us, it's an invitation. We can reject it or we can accept it. And even in accepting it, we have to lay hold of it. You know, there's a faith aspect of our walk with God. I've been through 3 major accidents with my family, serving God, traveling across America. Well, one of them was in Australia here, a head-on collision. But God's protected my kids and my family in a way that no one could tell me that he didn't intervene. And yet you meet someone, they say, well, my son was killed, or this, and I say, well, look, there's no favorites in the kingdom, but there is a covenant and there is an invitation to allow God or invite God to be a covenant God for you, where he has the right to intervene, where when you've lost control, when you're out of control, it's too late to give God control. But if you give God control of your life before you lose control, and I'm referring to, say, an accident rolling at 65 miles an hour in an RV with your 3 little children and your family, and the God intervenes, and he somehow protects our life, and you come out of that, and then that happens again 10 years later, and he protects your kids again, and you go, well, there's something in this covenant. If God could have protected everybody like he protected us, no one would have an accident. So there's just a common sense reality that God is the God of love. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, to open the doorway of possibility for anyone who believes, anyone listening today that believes, can open their heart and open their life and bring God's promises over their life by responding, by appropriating them is a big word, but by saying, this is what I want for me and my family. And when you do that, it opens a door to help. It's like you, or you know, when you're robbing banks or whatever, there was probably people that loved you, said, don't do that, mate, but you didn't listen. But when there came a point where you heard from God, you listened and you responded, and here you are many years later helping others. So you could have still chosen the wrong road, but you chose the right road. So we are a product of our choices.
And I also believe, Doug, that because someone prayed for me for 9 years, I mean, as close as I'm sitting to you, the day that I gave my heart to the Lord, Jesus knew when he went to the cross the exact moment in time that I would respond.
Yes.
And as close as I am to you, this policeman was firing bullet holes, shooting his gun into my getaway car. I mean, I'm a big fat black fella. You can't miss me. You know what I mean? It'd have been like shooting Woolworths on the side of the building at Woolworths.
Yeah.
But he never shot me.
Yes.
Because God kept me safe. And the next day when I was, God protected me from the police, I come across a roadblock, Doug. And I was 10 yards away from the coppers when I came around the corner, and there was standing in the middle of the road, six of them. And the Lord, I heard a little voice say to me, I'd only been saved less than 24 hours, and the voice said to me, walk between them. Don't stop. And I walked between them and they didn't even see me. I mean, God protected me, kept me safe. And I believe he kept me safe from the shootout. And because when my partner jumped out of the car, he took my gun with him. So when the police were shooting at me, I wouldn't have missed that copper. I would have been in jail forever if I'd have shot that copper.
Yeah.
But see, God allows circumstances. God protects us. God intervenes. And mate, I'm forever grateful that God intervened that day.
Yes.
I'll never forget what God did for me. Never, ever forget. And all the hurts I've had in my life, I grew up on a mission. I had child sexual abuse from the age of 6 to 16. And, you know, it took me 40 years to forgive. And then recently, Doug, my daughter, I found out about 6 years ago, my daughter was raped and interfered by her school teacher, head of Christian school. And my pastor and his wife knew about it and didn't tell me and my wife at the time about it. And then my brother passed away recently, and I went to the funeral, and he did the funeral, and my daughter came to the funeral as well, and it took everything inside of me to greet that man, to give him a hug and say, well, God loves you, God bless you. But only God can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take away the hurts and the anger and things like that.
Yes.
And even the guy that raped my daughter, he got 90 years recently, but he put my family through hell. My daughter tried to suicide 5 or 6 times, and the day he got sentenced, I forgave him. I told the policewoman, I said, when he's sentenced, when they're taking him away, you tell him this old black fella forgives him.
Wow.
And you tell him I'll be praying for him.
Yes.
But the old me, Doug, would have been a different story.
That's right.
He'd have been shaking hands with his maker long before he went to court.
Yeah.
But you see, when God changes us, grace comes in and overcomes, and God's love overcomes all our hurts, all our anger. And I've never been, like this morning, I dance before the Lord all the time, sometimes naked and that, like David. Because I say to people, God don't look at my black butt when I'm when I'm dancing before him. You know, he doesn't say to Jesus in heaven, gee, Tony must be naked, I can't see him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But God is a God that sees all. He loves us. And he cares. He doesn't look whether we dance and praise him naked. He looks at the heart. God just loves us.
Yes. Yeah, and God's not the prudish God that, you know, we make him out to be. He's not insecure. He's pretty stable. You know, when we look at our lives and we look at where we've come from, he loves us, the Bible said, while we're yet sinners. You know, he sent Jesus to die for us while we were still in the thickness of our, well, you know, your bank robbery, whatever. You know, we all got our story. But he chooses to love us and then shows his love in this, that he died. He sent his son to die for us. And, you know, I teach this every day in my life that, you know, we can see how God shows his love for us. How do we show our love for God? It's in doing what he taught us to do. It's in doing what he commanded us to do, you know. And to me, it's a joy. It's not a burden. You know, we've been doing this for a lot of years now. My wife and I married my wife when she was just a kid, basically. I was
she
9
still
years,
is.
Yeah. I'm 9 years older than her. And you know, she came with me and we pioneered a church for a honeymoon. And she was still a little raw. She was straight out of the world and a little on the worldly side, you know. And I'd been a Christian for 10 years and dressed nice and parted on the right, you know, my hair and did everything nice and walk over glass for people. And she'd tell them off, you know. And so it took a little while for us to walk the way we're walking today. But the grace of God in our marriage, the grace of God in protection, the grace of God in provision, the grace of God in Titus 2:11 says God's that ability, that enduring, that ability of God to empower us. Grace is not something that just says I can do whatever I want. It's an empowerment. Paul said, by the grace God gave me, I preached the gospel. I did what I was here to do. And I see a grace in your life, you know, and it's just beautiful sitting here and we're telling our stories and just the sincerity of heart. You know, we're telling stories, but you could tell me those stories if I was down the pub as a guy and you tell me about walking through the cops and I go, yeah, mate, right. I'm sitting here as your brother with experiences that are just as fantastic. And I go, wow, God's awesome, you know.
Well, one of the guys, you're going to Gosford's in the Central Case, and one of the police officers pointed a gun at me, and the Lord said there's three cars were coming towards me, and he said the third one's the policeman, and he's going to shoot you. He got out of the car because the truck had spotted me and told him where I was. He pointed his gun at me, and he said, I'm going to kill you, you black so-and-so. And I cried out to God. All of a sudden, he couldn't see me. He put his gun in his holster and drove away. Now, 20 years later, I'm preaching at Gosford, and I'm sharing this testimony about this guy putting the gun away. And somebody, a non-believer in the crowd, said, well, but you don't expect me to believe that tripe. Nobody sees, points a gun at you, and then walks away. And just as I was sharing that part of the testimony, a man walked into the back of the church and he'd been drinking. He was pretty, like, sort of homeless sort of person. And he stood up and he said, this man's telling the truth. He said, I was that policeman. And he said, for years it bothered me. I couldn't stop drinking. I thought I was going mad. I left the police force and I'm homeless. And it was a God-appointed time that he came when I was sharing that testimony. Okay. Because it gave him peace. It gave him closure. He accepted Jesus that day. Mm. And that's a miracle when he was going to shoot me 20 years before. Mm. And then he just come around and softened up and gave his heart to the Lord and gave him peace of mind and clarity.
Wow. That's the amazing timelessness of God. You know, with that, you wonder, you might say, well, why did God leave it so long or whatever? But if God can reach anyone, you know, the Bible says hell is enlarging itself. You know, so that means despite the fact that we know what we're saying is true, most of the world is rejecting Jesus. You know, there's a fraction of the world who are Christian right now, and yet it's the most amazing walk. It's the most amazing faith. Not represented well always, but it's real. It's tangibly real. We can feel God, be felt by God. He promises stuff and it works, and it really is profoundly powerful. But we just need to have God in our lives. And I just encourage anyone listening, if you've been somewhere near Christianity before, it hasn't been good for you, come again. Come and have another look. Come and have another shot at this thing.
Well, we've got to finish now, but what happened was the other night, a friend of mine's son's been over here from New Zealand for the last 5 months, and I've been witnessing him, showing him by faith how God works. And I've talked him into coming the other night to hear you. And he said to me in the car park, he said, you know what? He said, I've given up on God for a long time and church. But he said, you know what? I'll come again. Because that bloke in there preaching tonight, that Doug Stanton, he's real. He's fair dinkum. He said, because of his sincerity, and he said, I'll come again. He's coming tonight and bringing his 86-year-old mum again tonight. You prayed for her the other night, But I just wanted you to know that
that's
he's coming back because he said Doug and Karen Stanton are real people, and he said they will bring people to God because they're fair dinkum.
Fair dinkum for God. That's what people want to see from us. We need to be fair dinkum, not holier than thou when we deal with people of the world. It's been great listening to Tony and Doug Stanton share together. And next week, Tony will be talking with Doug's wife, Karen, as the interview continues. I hope you can join us again. I'm Heidi, and you've been listening to King's Kids. Remember, you can contact Tony Dennison on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. And catch up with the latest news on the King's Kids website, kingskidsministries.org. Bye for now. See you next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.